offering for him today. Our scripture affirmation comes from the third chapter of John. Now, you know, why do we do a scriptural affirmation? Because I want us in the Word of God. All that we do is based in the Word of God for the God of the Word. And we want to make sure that we are starting from that point, the Word of God. So in chapter 3, I'll read the bold, italicized, and you'll read the bold. So it says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
If I have told you earthly things,
and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
He that believeth on him is not in heaven, but he that believeth not is in heaven already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, as we begin this new year that you have blessed us with, we ask that you would help us to be people that believe, that today you would speak to our hearts in such a way that we would see you, that we would get you, that we would understand, and we would believe. Let us be a believing people, Lord. Help us to love you and to want you and to desire you because you have so loved us. We praise you, we thank you, and we give you all the glory. Thank you for being here with us this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just shout Hosanna. He is worthy of all glory. He is worthy of our honor and praise. That is just such a truism, and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss how profound a thing this is that we're supposed to be doing. I mean, it's profound that we are here. This is like a big deal. This is amazing. We get to worship the King of Kings. We get to worship the Lord of Lords. What do you think? 2023, huh? We survived. And we are here. And God wants to do something through us. that is so amazing and so real. Let me warn you from the beginning. I want to challenge us to be disciples that make disciples that can make disciples. I want to challenge all that are in attendance here today. I want to challenge First Baptist Church of Garrettsville. I want to challenge each and every one of us individually and each of us corporately. I want to challenge us to be people that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not enough for us to just be attenders. It is not enough for us to just be those that give lip service to the greatness of God. It is not enough for us to just go on as usual. The gospel needs to change every fiber of our soul. The gospel needs to make us different. The gospel needs to flow from us into this community in such a way that we glorify our Father who is in heaven. We need to be people who truly preach the gospel of the kingdom. We need to be people who share the good news. We need to be people who get it. Because if you really know him, you begin to get it. And there is no way, there is no way that you cannot, that you will not share the truth. We ourselves must be disciples. We must be born again. We must be changed and change agents. Turn with me to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Third chapter of the Gospel of John. In this chapter is one of the most iconic scripture. Everybody seems to have heard this. Everybody seems to know this. But sometimes I think you can hear something so often. You can hear something that you just kind of like, yeah, that's good. Everybody knows that. I even can remember that sometimes. You can do that kind of thing, but I'm not going to give you that here. I need to push us a little bit harder, not into some works righteousness, but make no mistake, God has called us to something. New Year's is supposed to be such a happy time, but I'm feeling an intensity that I hope doesn't come off as angry or frustrated or any of those things, because I'm not angry and I'm not frustrated. I'm just ready. I'm just ready to go forward. I feel bursting at the seams, because God wants to do something so real. And I can't wait. So, all right. Chapter 3, John, first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This was a guy who was a religious guy. This was one who was thought of highly by the people around him. This was one who specialized in the word of God. This was Nicodemus. That same Nicodemus, this famous guy, came to Jesus by night. He came at a time when he could really talk with Jesus. He came, maybe he didn't want everybody to see that he was going to Jesus. Maybe he didn't care, but he did want some time to speak to this one who had been doing these amazing and wondrous miracles. He wanted to know some things, and he thinks he's found someone who can talk to him. Somebody who gets it. Somebody who's not just going through the motions. You know, it's easy just to go through the motions. We're Christians, and so we go through the motions. We say the right things. We open our day saying all these cutesy little trite sayings, but they don't mean anything because our lives don't match what we're saying. He didn't want that anymore. This is man who is seeking. And he says unto Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. What a compliment that would be. Poor preachers today, if you said, yeah, we know you're a preacher from God, I would just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, yeah. Nah, but Jesus doesn't fall for that kind of trap. He doesn't do that. He doesn't let his ego get in the way. He says, Rabbi, that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus immediately turns this thing on him. He says unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, for sure, I'm saying unto thee, except a man be born again. Some translations say, be born from above. Born from heaven. Born, brought into. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, I understand that, but don't believe that you understand the kingdom of God if you don't know Jesus, because you don't get it. You just don't get it yet, and you need to understand. If you don't know Jesus, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And I'm afraid that there are lots of us over the years that are so used to being in religious places and religious services that we think we know the King and his kingdom. And all we know is about him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable into his life. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? I'm a grown man. What can I do to be born again? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What a crazy picture that is. He crawls back up into the womb so he could come out again to be born again. What are you talking about? I hear you talking it, and I know that you're trying to make sense, but it doesn't make any sense to me. How can I be born again? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, I'm talking to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, academics get into all kinds of debates about what this means, what water means, and all of that. But take this much for sure. Are you being born in the natural? That's one way. You're born in the natural. All of you here were born of a woman. All of you are born in the natural, but you need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born of that which you can't see. You need to be born of that you may not understand. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you got to have both ways, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't even get in. You don't have the right way of identifying yourself. You can't even get in to the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born again, not of just your flesh, but of the Spirit. We don't harp on that sometimes, but we need to. You gotta get it. This is something you cannot get around. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that get in your way. Sometimes we're trying to figure it out so much that we can't accept it. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it came from and whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I love to stand outside and just watch the trees sometimes. You ever been standing on the ground in an open field and maybe there's a tree line, a ridge that's pretty close by? And you're standing there and you hear a big sound and you don't see anything moving. And then maybe you'll see the tops of the trees swaying back and forth. But you're not feeling anything. Nothing's blowing on the ground. Or maybe there's a piece of paper that's 15 or 20 feet or a dozen yards away. And you watch it and the paper starts to blow and it goes around and around and around and around. And you go, wow. And it's not even touching you. That's how it is with the Spirit. The Spirit goes where he wants to go. It does what he wants to do. And you can't always figure it out. You can't always predict it. You can't always follow it. You only see evidence. But you do see evidence. You do see evidence that the wind is blowing. What we need to see is evidence that the Spirit is moving in us. Can anybody see the Spirit moving in you? Can anybody recognize that you have the Spirit of God moving? Can anybody recognize that you have been touched? Can anybody understand that you are changed and being changed because of the Spirit of the living God moving? Maybe we don't see it on the outside like maybe we would want to. Frankly, I think it would scare us to death if we could see it. But we ought to see the evidence. The wind blows, verse 8, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that was born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You're supposed to know this stuff, dude. You've been in the Word of God. You've had the whole Old Testament all these years. You've memorized so much scripture. You've been doing all of this stuff. Why don't you know this? Don't you know? Maybe we ought to be like Nicodemus and come to the realization that after all these years, we don't know all that we're supposed to know. Could it be that in spite of the fact that we've done this church thing a lot, we really don't get some things? Maybe it's time for us to go deep. Maybe it's time for us to learn. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. Jesus is telling us what he knows and testified that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. You don't accept what I've given you here in the Word of God? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, this little bit that you've had so far doesn't move you. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? We want the Spirit of God. Oh, speak to us, Lord. And we haven't even obeyed the Word of God yet. We haven't even recognized that the Word of God is true, that the Word of God is powerful, that the Word of God changes us. We haven't recognized that we need to do what he said do. You know, people are so worried about things that they can't understand in the Word of God. But what I'm worried about are the things I do understand. Maybe we ought to get to be the people that actually, truly do the things that we know to do. There are things in here that you absolutely do understand this day. Are you being obedient to what you know? You're asking for more revelation when the revelation you had is only revealed that you're disobedient. Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Let Jesus speak to you this day. We don't want to be like the Israelites were. Verse 14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's an allusion to a story in the Old Testament where the Israelites were being disobedient and they were not doing what they were supposed to do, and God allowed snakes to come and bite them. They were being bitten and poisoned and all of this stuff. It was really a terrible time. And Moses goes to God and said, Lord, help. And God gives him this nehushta. It was a snake on a like a cross-like thing. And when he held it up, if people were to look at that, he promised that he would heal them. In other words, if they were obedient to God, if they demonstrated they were going to be obedient to God, they would be healed. So people would look at this and be healed. And their looking at it was not so much that the snake healed them, because the snake didn't heal them, but they were looking at this thing and they were seeing that they were being obedient to the word of God. It was an indication that they were truly going to follow him. They were truly going to be obedient. And so he says here that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So back up to 14 again. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross. He was raised up and everybody could see. And even today, we must look to the cross. We must look to the fact that our provision is Jesus Christ. We must look to the fact that for our sin, there was something that needed to be done. And what needed to be done was that there needed to be a blood sacrifice. Something needed to die so that we might live. Jesus on the cross lifted up, shed his blood for us. He died. He died and went into a tomb dead. But 3 days later, he was raised again. So 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Life is knowing Jesus Christ. That's real life. That's forever life, knowing Jesus Christ. And then this verse you've heard so often. For God, creator of the universe, God, the King of kings, God, the Lord of lords, God, the one whom there is none other like, God. He loved the world. Wow, he loved us. Wasn't anything that you did to make him love you. Some of you are handsome. I don't think I'd love you for that. Some of you are strong. I don't think I'd love you for that. No, there wasn't anything that you could do to earn his love. His love is a gift of grace. His love is a free thing, given by him at his choice. His love is something he gave to you before you were. His love is his choice. God so loved the world. And because he loved, he knew that the world needed to be saved. It needed to be delivered. It needed to be rescued. We were lost in sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, only unique son, the only one to come this way, the only one to be born of a virgin, the only one that was him incarnate, the only one. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means even you, even me, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The way that we preach sometimes, the way that it's said sometimes, we feel like this is a place of condemnation. No, this is not a place of condemnation. That's not what we're doing here. This is a place that tells you the truth And the truth is that without him, you are condemned already. Without him, you can do nothing. Without him, you are basking in darkness. Without him, you are lost and don't even have sense enough to know it. Without him, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, you got to know that you needed to be saved. You need to understand all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't get it right on our own. And that's what we struggle with because we keep trying to do it on our own, on our own, on our own, on our own, on our own. And we can never get started. But he loved us so much that he said, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, in the name and the character and the person of the Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This year, I want to challenge you that you would repent of your sin, that you would repent, that you would turn away from the sin that so easily besets you. Turn away from the things that have you bound. Turn away. Repent and believe. If you believe in him, it's amazing what he wants to do in, through, and around your life. So you repent and you believe. But this is the part that I think I failed to share strongly enough over the years. Certainly we should repent. Certainly we should believe. But we are to follow Jesus. This is not a get out of jail card free kind of deal. This is entering into a lifestyle. This is entering into a kingdom. This is your whole life being changed. Your whole life being made different. Your whole life being surrendered to the King of Kings. Your whole life be given as a living sacrifice. You are giving yourself over to God. You are following him. That's discipleship. Excuse me. That's discipleship. And that is what I am clearly, boldly calling you to this day. Will you be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you repent, be born again, changed, made different, and follow Christ? Repent, believe in Jesus, and follow him all of your days in every way. None of this wimpy stuff. None of this wimpy stuff. We need to follow Jesus Christ. Anything less is not enough. The initial thing, obviously, is confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there are people around you that want to help you to grow in this thing. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ in this location is First Baptist Church of Garrettsville, Ohio. And together we are going to grow as disciples, learning how to follow him effectively so that we too can make disciples that you personally can reach out to people and see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, believe on Jesus, and follow him. That's what we're to be about. And that is my desire for us. I'm going to push that. I don't know how popular it'll be. But it's what we should be about. Maybe you'll want to pray with me. Dear Lord, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I can't do that without you having first called me. And I am thankful that you've called us. Now, Lord, change us and help us to become the people you've called to yourself. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and I will follow you all of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God is moving in your heart and you just need a moment to confirm that, maybe you'll want to come to the altar. So we're going to let the guy sing before we take the first Lord's Supper of 2023. But maybe this is your time to grow closer. The altar's open.